All of the podcasts here at the Sideshow Network are now at the touch of a button on your iPhone and iPad. With the new Sideshow Network app, tune into all your favorite podcasts here at the Sideshow Network. Go to iTunes App Store, search for Sideshow Network, and download our free app to stream all of your favorite Sideshow Network podcasts at any time you want. The top comedians in the world are at your fingertips with the Sideshow Network app for iPhone and iPad.
So you're thinking about starting a new website. Maybe you have some new small business idea. You want to sell something online, or maybe you want to show off your photography, or maybe you want to start that new podcast to compete with mine. That's a bad idea. No podcast. Stop it. GoDaddy is offering one new or one transfer.com for just $1.99 for the first year. Each new.com comes with a free instant page website and built-in photo album. So really, what are you waiting for? Get your website started today. All right, even if it is a podcast, just get it started now. Go to GoDaddy.com, enter code Alonzo at checkout, or click on the GoDaddy banner on our website. I have nothing to do with Danica Patrick. No, I can't hook you up. Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I am back with my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Now, my regular listeners, who I really appreciate, know that I've been on a little hiatus. I took a couple of weeks off, and I asked you guys, what should I add or change or do differently? How can I make the podcast better? And a lot of you chimed in, and I definitely appreciate that. So here's the deal. This is some things I'm going to do, some changes I'm going to make. I'm going to cut out the background music. A lot of people like the music. A lot of people find the music distracting. I love it. But what I'm going to do is I'm still going to play intro music. I'm going to play outro music. It will still be jazzy. It will still hopefully set the tone and set the vibe for the podcast. You will hear a lot of guys like Marcus Miller, George Duke, Gerald Albright, some Norman Brown, some Richard Elliott, some Dave Koz, and Rick Braun. And I use these guys because I know these guys. That's right. I know them personally, so I ain't paying them to use their music. That's why you hear it. all kidding aside, I do love them, and we'll use the music that way. There's going to be a little more about me. Some people said they wanted to hear more about what's going on with me, what I'm doing in my week, who I am, and maybe even how I come to some of my opinions. I'll talk some about that little background, little personal info. Maybe that'll make it a little better. I'll try it, and we'll see. I'm going to try to be funnier. Okay, that's what started this. The word that I was funnier on other people's podcasts than I am on my own. But I will say this. This isn't a half hour of comedy. This isn't a stand-up show. I love stand-up. It's obviously the backbone of everything I do. I love making people laugh. I love making jokes about topical events. But this is me. This is me talking. This is sometimes it's a stream of consciousness. Sometimes it's a rant. Sometimes it is hilarious. I'm just making fun of how funny a story is. So it's not going to be necessarily as funny as two comics sitting down talking, which a lot of other podcasts are. And let me give a shout out to those podcasts because I always have fun doing them, like doing More Stories with Jay Moore or doing Adam Carolla's podcast. Those are fun, but it's a different vibe than what I do here. So I promise this to be funny. I'm sorry if it's not my funniest. Some people ask for consistency. I will try to be more consistent with the podcast. Here's what my goal is to record a new 30-minute podcast every Tuesday. Now, here's the deal with my life and my schedule. Comedy obviously requires travel. I'm in airplanes all the time. You want to talk about airports and flight delays? I'm your guy. You want to test some luggage? Give it to me. I will wear it out. How luggage guys break almost almost totally concealed wheels. I honestly think they try. I think they try. But anyway, that's my life. So I'm usually in LA Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and on the road at work Thursday through Sunday. So I'm going to try to record you a new half hour every Tuesday. We'll see how consistent I can be. The guys down at the Sideshow Network who produce and distribute my podcast say, hey, come into the studio and do it every Tuesday. Maybe I will. But right now, I'm doing it on my iMac. That's right. I'm still a Mac guy, even though Samsung Galaxy's trying to move in. I'm still a Mac guy working with an iPhone, an iPad, an iMac, and pretty much anything else you got with an I in front of it. It'll be involved in my iPodcast. Okay. I'm sorry. The jokes will be better than that. I promise you. And one last thing I'm going to ask you guys. Tweet me. Tweet me. Doesn't that sound like a strange appeal for an odd sexual act? Hey, give you $20 to tweet me. I'm a sick man. I'm sorry about that. Send your ideas to @AlonzoBowden on Twitter for stories you want me to talk about. Maybe I haven't touched on something that you'd like me to talk about. And hit me up. And every week I will try to use one or two of your tweets to lead me to a story that I need to do. Or I'll just keep on ranting on what I like. Now, when you send me a story, let's try not to make it too personal. I mean, I realize the parking regulations on your block are very important to you, but perhaps that won't affect a large scale audience. So please send me the Twitter stuff. I'd love to talk about it. And it doesn't matter what, like, it's not limited to politics or anything like that. Whatever you want me to talk about, if it's newsworthy, I'm gonna try to jump on it. People worried. There were some people, as it's funny, I got a few tweets saying, hey, you're not going to stop picking on the Tea Party, are you? No, it's just that the Tea Party's running out of members. There's only a few. But hey, Sarah's still out there talking. So we'll be talking about that in this podcast. I still love Sarah. So, okay, let's move on. Let's get into the podcast. All right. What's going on with me? What am I doing? Sunday night, I performed, this is my second time performing, at the Los Angeles Press Club Awards Dinner. This is where the press, news media, print media, etc. of LA get together, and they always honor somebody and they give out their awards for various types of reporting. And, you know, it's a banquet, and they bring me in to lighten it up. I love making fun of the news in front of the newsmakers. And this year, my theme was news that's not news. Stop it. Stop bothering me with stuff that I don't need to know. Listen, Kanye West and Kim Kardashian named their kid North, so the kid is now Northwest. I hate that I know that. I hate even more that it's reported as news, not even entertainment as news. You know what news would be if they named their kid Mary? That's right. When two celebrities get together and have a kid and they give that kid an ordinary name like Sally or Bob, that would be news. Stop telling me stuff I don't need to know. You know, I talked about the NSA scandal and how big that deal is. And you know something? No one's listening in on your phone calls because your phone calls aren't important. All right. You're not 007. You have no secret information, so relax. You have 14 Twitter followers. That's how little people care about what you have to say. And I also joked about the fact the LA Press Club is giving awards for podcasts and blogs. Listen, if you work in print media, if you're with the LA Times or the LA Weekly or, you know, numerous news magazines that were represented, and you're giving awards to blogs, aren't you hammering the nails into your own coffin? If you're in LA radio news and you're giving awards to really great podcasts, aren't you just saying, yeah, we're done. Enjoy this award show. We got four of them left. I don't know. So I joked about that. I had a ball, but here was the highlight of the evening for me. They were honoring Carl Reiner. For those who don't know, Carl Reiner was, let me tell you how long Carl Reiner has been funny. Carl Reiner was funny in black and white. All right. Carl Reiner created the Dick Van Dyke Show. Carl Reiner, Rob Reiner is his son. From the Dick Van Dyke Show to Ocean's 11. That's his career span. Carl Reiner been funny for over 60 years. And I people asked me, was I nervous? And I joked. I said, listen, I'm going up to be funny in front of the 2,000-year-old man. If you've never heard the 2,000-year-old man, look it up. It was Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks. Absolutely hilarious. So I do my thing. I sit down. I'm at a table next to Carl. I ask him how I did. And he says, quote, you were fucking outstanding. All right. Now, listen, I try to keep the podcast clean. But when Carl Reiner tells you are fucking outstanding, you did something right. And he went on to talk about how I should have a topical talk show and stuff like that. And man, I hope he calls his son and lets him know about me. So kudos and thanks to Carl Reiner. The man's 91 years old, still funny. And I'm just guesstimating over 60 years he's been in comedy. So that was my week. That was my biggie. And it was big. And I had a ball doing it. This weekend, I'm in town. I'm at my favorite club. I'm going to be at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood and Long Beach. And that's my life. So now let's get into the meat of the podcast. What the hell has been going on? Well, there's good news. There's good news. You'll be happy to know discrimination no longer exists. That's right. It's official. From the Supreme Court, racial discrimination is over. The Supreme Court, they rendered their decision, and they got some big decisions coming up this week. Gay marriage is going to be another one. But right now, they rendered their decision on the Voting Rights Act. And the decision is 5-4 to basically take the guts out of the Voting Rights Act. For those who don't know, and anyone listening to this knows, but in 1965, Congress banned voter discrimination based on race. You know, back then they had things like poll taxes. And if you were black, you went to the polls, you had to answer a bunch of questions about American history and so on. And as we know, recently, the right wing has tried to bring back some of these practices with requests for ID and some shady practices. So the Voting Rights Act was challenged in a Supreme Court decision. Now, here's what they said, and this is a little wordy. I'm going to try to keep it as simple as possible in my explanation, and hell, you guys are smarter than me. You'll understand. So Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act says that they can't discriminate on race. In other words, they can't put up a sign, no Mexicans voting around here. So the Section 2 still stands, and that doesn't happen often. Let's face it, people are more sophisticated than that. This was written at a time when there were black and white bathrooms, and you pretty much had to put that in the law. But Sections 4 and 5 are interesting, because Section 4 of the Voting Rights Act, and this is what they struck down, basically said that if you have a history of discrimination, you have, Sections 4 and 5 said, if you have a history of discrimination, you have to check with the federal government in Washington, D.C. before you change any of your voting laws. So you can't move a polling place. You can't redistrict to help or hurt a certain candidate. You can't ask for ID or any kind of change without running it by Washington. Now, Section 4 was how they determined who has a history of discrimination. And obviously, well, I say obviously, but I'm old school. All right. I'm from an age of discrimination, which no longer exists, as Justice Roberts, but basically said states like, you know, Mississippi and Alabama and rural Georgia and South Carolina, you know, somehow these Confederate states had a history of discrimination. It ain't me. I'm just saying somehow there was a mix up and they were accused of being discriminatory in the past. So Justice Roberts says, well, things have changed. We have a black president now, and these places, these states and voter districts, et cetera, haven't done anything discriminatory in a long time. Of course, he mentioned that maybe because of the Voting Rights Act. See, that's the beauty of it. They haven't discriminated since we passed this Voting Rights Act. So you know something? We don't really need this Voting Rights Act anymore. And by the same logic, well, man, you know, over on 4th and Main, where people kept getting hit by cars, and then they added the traffic light, and suddenly no one was getting hit by cars. Well, you know something? No one's getting hit by cars anymore. Let's take away the traffic light. That is the same logic. Fascinating. But again, I'm old school. Now, what Justice Roberts said was that Congress should be changing this law. The Congress should have, you know, passed less restrictive voting rights laws, et cetera, over time, because things are changing. And well, part of the Voting Rights Act is that Congress has to periodically review it. The Senate has to periodically review just that reason. If times change, if discrimination changes, blah, 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 they can change the law. So the last time it was reviewed was 6 years ago. The Senate voted 98-0 to keep the law as is, to renew it as is, which means even senators from these states like Mississippi and Georgia and South Carolina and Alabama and what have you, because this is predominantly southern states, all right? Even they said, you still got to keep an eye on us. Listen, we love you and all, but you still might want to watch us when it comes to voting laws. You understand? Their senators voted to keep the law the way it is. But Roberts said that it's over. There's no more discrimination. So they've taken the guts out of it. And I'm not sure what's going to happen. I'm not psychic, but I got a feeling if you've looked at the last few elections with the hopes of changing rules regarding voter ID and redistricting, that things are going to change and it's not going to be better. In 2000, a Mississippi town canceled an election because there were African-American candidates running. 2003, South Carolina tried to switch to at-large elections because African-Americans won a majority on a school board. Georgia redistrict voting in 2000 because they wanted to limit minority voting strength. So this stuff still goes on, but obviously it's a figment of my imagination. Discrimination is over and quick. Someone call Trayvon Martin's family. Let them know. On the Trayvon Martin front, it's the jury has been selected, and the jury is going to be 6 women, 5 white, 1 Hispanic. There'll be no African Americans on the jury, which is okay because discrimination has ended. And see, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go. Okay, I'm not going to make a prediction. Obviously, I'm old school. I'm the racist here because somehow I think shooting a black kid for walking through your neighborhood to buy candy after the police told you to leave the kid alone is wrong. But that's just me. I'm just one thinking that shooting an unarmed black kid for buying candy is murder. I ain't from Florida. I'm from them old school racist states. You know, New York and California. Well, we'll see how this turns out. They're going through a lot of the pretrial motions. What's allowed to be said, what isn't allowed to be said. You know, it's a blame the victim kind of thing, right? Trayvon Martin smoked weed, so he's bad and blah, blah, blah. We'll see how this goes. I honestly don't know. And I'm not even going to say whether it looks good or bad. I honestly don't know how this trial is going to go. Obviously, I think George Zimmerman was wrong, and I think he should go to jail. But a lot of people say that I'm wrong. Who are those people? Mainly white guys with guns scared of black kids. But that's just me. All right, let's move on because I'm trying to keep it tight. Sorry. I told you she's back. You know her. You love her. You can't live without her. Sarah Palin is at it again. She's organizing the Mama Grizzlies. The Mama Grizzlies are against the Immigration Act. She's going after Jeb Bush. She's going after Marco Rubio. And this is what Sarah says, that this Immigration Act is economic insanity. Illegals are going to be coming to the United States to collect welfare and entitlements. And here's why. Because blue-collar voters of all races sat on their butts. They didn't get out and vote against that socialist Barack Obama. classic Palin, Classic logic. Don't ever let the facts interfere with a Sarah Palin argument. What the Congressional Budget Office did say is that while wages for American workers may go down 0.1% initially, they're going to go up 0.5% as a result of, you know, increasing the labor pool, increasing business, et cetera, et cetera. Illegals coming to collect welfare and entitlements, you should probably go out to a field in I'm in California. Listen, go up to Fresno and tell me how many illegals are picking vegetables versus sitting at home collecting them welfare checks. All right. But Sarah, God bless you. We love you. Don't ever let the facts interfere with your argument. You organize those mama grizzlies. The beauty is she's attacking Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio. It's Republican on Republican crime. That's what it is. She's attacking Republicans. She's bringing them down with more crazy Tea Party rhetoric. I think this is a good thing. I think it's great. You guys have fun. Devour your own. Is anyone listening to Sarah Palin anymore? Seriously. I mean, the reality show went off the air. Even Fox News said, hey, we got to get rid of this crazy broad. And I use the word broad as opposed to another B word. Sorry, I already been cussing on this. Got to keep it clean. Is anyone listening? Does she listen to herself? Someone needs to call Mama Grizzly and let her know. Saint Reagan signed an amnesty act. Does anyone remember that? In the 80s, Reagan gave amnesty to illegal aliens. And I don't think that's what ruined our economy after that. Now, what I think ruined our economy was the savings and loan scandal under Saint Reagan. That was when savings and loan guys who ran the banks started gambling the money on the stock market by, you know, doing takeovers and buying junk bonds and so on and so forth. And of course, it all imploded under the first George Bush, and the government had to bail all of that out. And that, I'm not sure, Mama Grizzly, but I think that was done by old rich white men who were probably married to Mama Grizzlies. That's what I'm guessing. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that economic insanity came from the illegals who got amnesty and opened up savings and loan institutions with the welfare money that they collected from the government. Yeah, of course. I'm the fool. I'm wrong. God bless you, Sarah. I was worried because they said Michelle Bachmann's going to be leaving Congress in 2014. And I was like, who am I going to have fun with? But thankfully, Sarah's still in the game. So good. I got something to do. I love you, Sarah. You are a beautiful woman. And when Jeb Bush made some comment about, you know, having more babies and blah, 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 and you talked about the fertility of white women, well, you are certainly proving it. How many do you have? 4, 5? Or whatever. If you're a Mama Grizzly, are they cubs? I don't even know. Here's one that, this is interesting. The 1% has a 1%. In 2012, 28% of political contributions came from 31,385 people. That's right. More than one quarter of the money donated, some would say paid, I am one of those, to politicians was donated by 31,385 people. That's in a nation of over 300 million. Every member of the House that got elected got money from this group, this 1% of the 1%, every member of the Senate. Of course, Barack Obama got money from this group. So basically, here's who the politicians work for. The top 2% of Republicans and the top 10 to 12% of Democrats. That's who they work for. That's who's giving them their money. Even after redistricting and the Voting Rights Act and all of that nonsense, you want an effect on politics? You better have a deep pocket. All right. I like how it takes 10 to 12% of Democrats to match the money of 2% of Republicans. You know why? Because those Democrats are carrying those entitlement collecting illegal alien amnesty whatever. Damn. Mama Grizzlies. Or cup. I don't even know. What else is going on? Well, kids are still shooting kids. You know, the gun thing, I talk about it because it literally staggers me. In May, Maggie Holifield was accidentally shot and killed by her brother. Her brother was cleaning his shotgun. I did say that. Her 13-year-old brother was cleaning his shotgun. Let's say it one more time. A 13-year-old boy was cleaning his shotgun. He owns a shotgun. The parents said he was normally very cautious and he just sort of forgot that the gun had a shell in it. Now listen, here's the thing. If you're 13 and you stole your parents' car and you ran over five people, your parents would be held somewhat responsible, you know, just for leaving the keys in the car. It's negligence. But in this case, the sheriff said, tragic accident. Could have happened to anybody. Couldn't have happened to anybody. Could only happen to a 13-year-old kid whose parents allow him to have a shotgun. You're not ready for a shotgun at 13. You can't drive. You can't drink. But a shotgun is okay. Listen, I don't want you drinking beer. But a weapon capable of killing people, you go on to have one. We have an insane gun culture in this country. And one day, someone in Congress will stand up and say, well, maybe not, but it would be beautiful if they stood up and said, this is insane. And I think they'd be shocked how many Americans got behind them and voted for them, even more than the 1% to the 1%. It was a great article. Matthew Parker, who is a petty felon. Matthew's been arrested quite a few times. Matthew was arrested for, you know, drugs and a little shoplifting and this and that. But in an article in the Daily Beast, Matthew said, I'm a convicted felon who lives in the Bronx. And despite the nonviolent nature of my crimes, I cannot legally purchase a firearm. But given my somewhat shady past, and not to mention I'm from the Bronx and live in the Bronx, I'm fairly certain I could find a shady character close to home, a lot of them shady characters up in the Bronx, who would sell me a gun illegally. Now, he says, I'd risk being sent back to prison, I'd be putting my life in danger, and the price of weapons is five times retail. So he said, now, keep in mind, this is a guy who is honestly a convicted felon, an admitted shady character living in a shady part of the Bronx. But he makes a good point. Adam Lanza, who did the Newtown shooting, could not buy a gun illegally in the Bronx, okay? Adam Lanza could not go to the Bronx, this white suburban guy from Connecticut, into a shady neighborhood in the Bronx and say, you know something? I need an assault weapon. I got cash, okay? Jared Langer, who shot the Congresswoman Gabby in Tucson. Same thing. Listen, basically what Matthew's saying is, NRA, you're wrong. Illegal guns are not that easy to get. And you can't just listen. I'm a black man. I'm 50 years old. I didn't grow up in the hood. I grew up in St. Albans, Queens, a black working class neighborhood. 50 Cent said it was the hood, but 50's getting a little soft. You know that. If I had to go to the hood in some city and just buy a gun, I doubt if I could do it. So I really doubt if a suburban white guy with no criminal past, no connection, could just walk in and say, you know something? I'm thinking about shooting up a school. I need an AK. Would one of you shady characters help me out? Perhaps. Do you take American Express? Probably not. Once again, common sense and reason versus the NRA. Who wins? The NRA. I don't know what to tell you. And lastly, and thank you guys for listening, and thank you so much for coming back to the podcast. Okay, remember, tweet me your ideas at Alonzo Bodden on Twitter, AlonzoBodden. I love you and thank you. And the last thing I'm going to talk about, congratulations to the Miami Heat and LeBron James for winning another NBA championship. The best team won. They did not make it easy. I am a LeBron fan. I do not understand the haters. The man has proven over and over he is the best basketball player alive today. Not talking about best in history, not talking about he's a new Michael Jordan. He is the first LeBron. If you saw how he played, not just scoring, not just the triple-double, but the defense, blocking shots at the end of the game, taking over in the fourth quarter. He did numerous things to show he's the best. And you know what? Afterwards, he was smiling. He got himself a cigar. So kudos to you, LeBron. Congrats on winning your second NBA championship in a row, your second finals MVP in a row, your second league MVP in a row. And I'm sorry to all those who say he's a bad guy for leaving Cleveland, but if you got a better job offer in Miami, you'd have taken it too. I'm Alonzo Bowden. I'm asking you, who's paying attention? You know who is? I am, because Doc Rivers is coming to the Clippers. That's right. The Clippers got a great coach, and I got good seats. I love you guys. I will talk to you next week. Thank you.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.